10 to 15, God hears you, so we can go to the next one. And here we have it. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So that's a pretty tall order, that God hears you. If we ask anything, he hears us. And whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, you might be aware that there's other verses like this in the Bible, quite a few. In fact, if we look at the next one, we have lots of similar promises to this in the Bible. You've got Matthew 7, verse 7, fairly well known. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. John 16, 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. James 1, 6 and 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Well, there's an earlier one there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, which says, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, you know, what are we to make of this? How are we to reconcile this with the fact that you've all had an experience where you have asked and you haven't got what you asked for, and yet there are all these promises in Scripture that if we ask, yep, we'll get what we ask for. So how can we reconcile that with reality? Let me do a few things about prayer. Yeah, that's all right. I sort of nodded then. Here's question number one. Who do we pray to in prayer? Sorry, these are not rhetorical questions. You do have to answer these ones. Who do we pray to in prayer? This is not a trick question. Yes, thank you, Jesse. We pray to God, that's right. Or sometimes we put it in terms of God. Mostly, I think, in the Bible, we pray to God the Father. If you look at that verse we just read, in 1 John 3 and verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from him. The him is in the previous verse, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And the reference there to God implies that it is the Father. And you remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples. And Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father. When you pray, Jesus said, look, this is the way I want you to learn to pray. When you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we're praying to God who is a Father. Just a quick straw poll here. How many have been or are, or I won't say will be, how many have been our fathers? Okay, or mothers? Okay, this one is probably going to be more for mothers. Have you ever been to the supermarket with your children? Walk down the aisle? Have your children ever asked for something that they've seen on the shelves in the supermarket? I've had that experience even as a father. What sort of things do I ask for? Yes, Hannah. What did they ask for? Rocket boosters. I hope this is a lolly or something. Yes, okay. Kahlua. Stringy teeth. I have no idea what anyone's talking about here, but... Jeez, oh, jeez, sorry if they said teeth. Okay. Yes, Simeon, one more. Toys, okay. Do your parents always give you those things? You know why they don't give you those things? Hannah. Because they're not good for you, that's right. Peter Barnes says, earthly fathers, if they have any idea of what fatherhood is about, will not agree to every request from their youngsters. The father who agrees to an endless pleas for ice creams, toys and holidays will soon prove to be an ineffective parent who is doing more harm than good. Okay, that's what fathers are all about. That's what mothers are all about. And if we are wise, we would want God as our Heavenly Father to grant our every request that we make in our foolishness and in our limited knowledge. There are many things I am thankful to God for that He has given me in answer to prayer. There are many things I'm thankful for that He never gave me that I asked for. So, okay, we are praying to God as a father. Part of the responsibility of a father is to give what is good. But still, what are we to make of these promises? Let's go back one more. No, sorry. Forward. Yeah. Okay, what are we to make of these promises? Ask and it will be given to you. Ask and you will receive. Ask of God, it will be given to him. Ask and we will receive from him. Whatever we ask, we will receive from him. So even though we recognise that God is a good father and he's only going to give us what is good, we have to think about, okay, well, what do we make of promises like this? Let's jump forward a couple. So the next question is, what is the condition which is attached to these promises? Because these promises do come, most of them with qualifications. We should put them all together to work out what God is saying. And it's important to take note of these conditions, because it is these that ensure that the anything that we ask for is an anything that a good father would actually want to give to his children. So let's have a look at what is the condition. Let's go, whoa, okay, did I nod? I'm glad I'm not at an auction. Hey, go to the next one. Yeah, it's... Right, so here we have the verse again. So what is the condition which is attached to that verse? According to his will. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So there is a very clear condition attached to that, where God makes that promise. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, okay, this is the way you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Okay, so one of the things we've got to pray for is your will be done. So we are going to pray for things according to God's will. Let's take a couple of prayers then. I pinched these from Peter Barnes's commentary, so we'll just throw in. Can we boldly ask God for our daily bread? What do we reckon? Yes, we can. Why can we boldly ask God for our daily bread? He's our Father, but how do we know it's God's will to pray for that? Because Jesus told us to. Yeah, Jesus said, look, when you pray for your daily bread. So go for it. You can pray each day. I hope you do. Pray each day, beginning of each day, for your daily bread. That's something that is according to the will of God. So it's certainly something we can pray for. Expect that God will answer us. Let's go to the next one. Can we boldly ask God that we might win the lottery? What do you think, Jesse? That's a good answer. That's the answer I give about praying that I'd win a game of football too. But what about... Yes, no, that's good. I agree with that. Any other reason we can't pray this prayer? What do you think, Hannah? You might. Do you think it's God's will to go into the lottery? It's not. It breaks two of the commandments. It breaks the commandment you shall not covet. It breaks the commandment you shall not steal. If someone wants to come up to you and give you $1 million, that's fine. But you're not to take $1 million from a person who doesn't want to give it to you. And when you get $1 million in the lottery, you're taking it from people that don't want to give it to you. So it breaks two of God's commandments. It's against two of God's revealed will. And that is, you shall not covet and you shall not steal. What about the next one? What if we promise to give the winnings to missions?
in Vanuatu. What do you think, Ken? It's not all that hard, actually. Just where we brought you back.
Okay, if something's wrong, doesn't matter if you want to do something good with it. You know, the Bible says the end doesn't justify the means in Romans 3 and verse 8, so you can't do good that can't do evil that good might come. So, no, you can't even pray that because it's not according to God's will. What about the next one? Can we pray for the dead? Someone you really love has died. Well, what does the Bible say? What's God's revealed will? What do you think, Jesse? We'd like to be able to pray that, don't we? But the Bible actually says this. It says, it is appointed for men once to die and after that the judgment. So the Bible says once we have died, the condition of that person is determined. We cannot pray for someone after they've died because God has already determined what their condition is. So we have to leave that with God. So that's not something which is according to God's will. One more. Can a husband pray whether to leave his wife and take up with another woman? Hannah says no. What do you think, Jesse? That's a definite no, isn't it? Right. That's a definite no. What do you think, Kalila? You say no? No, that's right. Do you mean no, no or yes, no? That's okay. No, no. Okay, all right. So that's a definite no. So Bible says no. That sounds pretty obvious, but you come across this sometimes. People say, well, you know, I'm praying about whether to leave my wife and go off with my girlfriend, and, you know, God's meant me and my girlfriend to be together. So, no, it's not according to God's will. So you can't even pray that because we can only pray for things which are according to God's will. Okay, next question. What if we don't know for certain what God's will is? Maybe praying for someone with a terminal illness. Can we pray for them? Can we pray they'll be healed? Okay. Is there any qualification in the way that we pray when we can't know for certain what God's will is? We can pray for their health, but we do have to pray submissively so that we are prepared to accept whatever God would do. So that's one where we don't really know. Yes, Corey? We could certainly pray that, yeah. We should pray confidently. We shouldn't pray if it is your will because we think, well, maybe God can't do this. We should be able to pray confidently that God can heal them, but we should also pray submissively so that we are prepared to accept whatever God determines in the end, knowing that God puts what is best for us. All right. There's another way we could talk about praying according to God's will, and that's in this one. John 14, 13 to 14, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Here's another one of these promises in Scripture which says, ask and I will do it. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This gets misunderstood sometimes. Some people think that, okay, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that I'll have $1 million. And they think they've prayed in the name of Jesus. But that's not what in Christ's name means. Let me give you an example. They don't do this much nowadays, but supposing someone came and knocked on the door and said, in the name of the King, I command you to open the door. Let's suppose they were right in doing that, but they weren't just loony. What does that mean, in the name of the King, open the door? Yes, Tian. Hang on, Tian. Sorry? The king ordered them to do it. To do it in the name of someone means that you were doing what they would do if they were present. And to pray in the name of Christ is to pray what Christ would pray if he were present. That's what praying in the name of Christ. It doesn't mean just tacking on in Jesus' name on the end of your prayer. It means you are praying what you sincerely believe Jesus himself would be asking for if he were present. So that's very similar to what we were seeing before about praying according to his will. So this means that all these promises in Scripture about if you ask for something, God will give it to you, they are all in the context of you are praying according to God's will, or you are praying in the name of Jesus, you are praying what Jesus himself would pray if he were there. So this raises a big question. Obviously the crux of this is the next thing. How can I know if I'm praying according to God's will? I mean, that's the real question, isn't it? Because if I am praying according to God's will, God will do it. Jesus promises, God promises. There are probably at least a dozen such promises in the Bible. How can I know if I'm praying according to God's will? So I'm just going to take a few groups of verses here that will help us to know if we are praying according to God's will. First group of verses, here's two of them. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Assuredly, I say to you, have faith and do not doubt. You will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. So a couple more of these verses that talk about you ask and you will get it. However, if it's going to be according to God's will, there's something there that tells us whether it's going to be according to God's will or not. What's the something there that tells us whether it's going to be praying according to God's will or not? Believing. Right? Believing. Having faith. So that's one thing. To pray according to God's will means you have to pray in faith. That's one aspect of praying according to God's will. Let's have a look at another one. If you abide in me, I only want to look at the first bit there, and my words abide in you, leave that for the time being. You will ask what you would desire and it shall be done for you. Here's another of these promises. You ask, you'll get it. What aspect of praying according to God's will, or what does it tell us here that we should be doing if we're going to be praying according to God's will? Yes, thank you, Tian. Abiding in Christ. Now, what does that mean? It's only not very long ago we were looking at John chapter 15, only about 4 years ago, I think. So how are we going? John 15, abiding in Christ. Well, yes, living out a Christian life, but I think even before you actually live a Christian life, you've got to be trusting in Christ. So before, the previous set of verses talked about believing, having faith, and they were particularly in the context of having faith that God could do what you're asking for. But this is talking about something else about faith. It's talking about having faith in Christ, to be joined to Christ, to be a Christian. So, ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. The very first thing is you've got to be Christ. You've got to be in Christ, you've got to be abiding in Christ, you've got to be Christ. So yes, it's not enough just to have faith, you have to have a living faith in Jesus himself. That's what it's all about. Next group. Okay, I've put these together. I want to look at the second part there, my words abide in you. Or he says later on in that same chapter, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my Father, the Father in my name, he may give you. So the promise about whatever you ask, he will give you. Again, it's in Jesus' name, but even before that, it's to do with something to do with fruit. And faith without works is dead. So, looking at this, how do we know that we're in a position to be praying according to God's will? What would you expect about the life of a person who is praying according to God's will? Okay, reading the Bible, that's certainly so. My words abide in you. When you say reading the Bible, my words abide in you, Does that just mean memorizing the Bible? No. To believe the Bible. To live out what Jesus says. To have Jesus' words abiding in you means that you are living out what Jesus says. Yes, it means you're reading the Bible, it means you're memorizing the Bible, but it is even more than that. It is living out. Those words are having their effect. They're transforming you, and you're living out what Jesus said. Okay, so they consider how it ties in with that next verse there. Jesus has chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. So you're living out your Christian life, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. So if you are wanting to take up the last part of that, whatever you ask the Father in my name that he may give you, you've got to be doing the first part. You've got to be bringing forth the fruit of a Christian. You've got to have a fruitful Christian life. And I just threw in there James 2:20, faith without works is dead. Because before we were talking about praying in faith, having faith in Jesus Christ. But of course, that faith has to show itself some way. It should be showing itself in the fruit that you're bringing forth and the word of Christ having its effect in your life. Okay, one last one here. And this is from the Psalms. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Peter quotes that in 1 Peter 3:12. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive from him. There's another one of those promises that I quoted before. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So, again, let me ask, what sort of life is a person living who can be have some confidence that he's praying according to God's will? He's got to have confidence in the Bible, but according to these verses, he's got to be what? Righteous. That's what it says. And so again, if a person is to have confidence that he's praying according to the will of God, then he needs to be living righteously. Now, I'm not saying that we do any of these things perfectly, but I am saying that if you want to have any confidence that you're praying according to God's will, then you'll be praying, you'll be living a life of faith, you'll be trusting that God can do what you ask, you'll have faith in Jesus Christ, you will be abiding in Christ, you will be bringing forth fruit in your life, his word will be abiding in you, and that all is basically the same as living righteously according to God's word, according to his commandments. I'm not saying you do those things perfectly, but the more that you are conformed to this, the more confidence you can have that you will be praying according to God's will. So let's just go to the next one. Let's sum up. We can only be confident of praying according to his will when we are living according to his will. There's no magic formula here. You can't go home tonight and say, okay, well, I'm living a pretty dissolute life and I'm committing all sorts of sins and I don't care in the world, but what's the magic formula for getting what I want in prayer? That's called animism. Okay, you know, you came across the end of that, didn't you? That's animism. But there's a lot of animists here in Australia, and that's the way they approach prayer. But the Bible says we can only be confident of praying according to his will when we are living according to his will. Go to the next one. I can sum up here what we've seen. This means praying in faith. It means living by faith in Jesus himself, abiding in Christ. It means living out our faith in living works, and it means living out our faith in living works of righteousness. None of those things earn an answer from God. Let me stress that. What I'm saying is that if you want to be confident of praying according to God's will, you have to be living a certain way. You can't have that confidence if you're not living according to all these things that we've said, which are attached to those promises. So I said this morning in the handout at church that tonight we'll be looking at the secret of getting what we want in prayer. So, okay, here's the secret. Big drum roll. I want to go back to this verse, John 15:7, because I think this covers everything that we've been looking at. Jesus said, if you abide in me, in other words, you have a living faith in me, and my words abide in you, you are living out that faith in your life, then you will ask what you desire, and what you desire will be more and more conformed to what Jesus desires, and it shall be done for you. So I really encourage you, we've covered a lot of verses, but I really encourage you, if you're going to store up one of them, store up John 15, verse 7, because this is, I think this is the secret of effective prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Thank you.